We have rallies of 4,000 or 5,000 people typically, but we go to places where there's a high demand for what we do. Great red states, red counties, Christians. And sometimes they surprise us, like Ocala. We have 5,000 people fill an equestrian center. It's very unusual. And while we were there doing our Fire and Glory event, I had people coming out to me, younger people. They said, "This is kind of weird. I thought I was going to a revival and I got all this politics." And then other people came out and said, "This is really weird. I came here for the political stuff and I did an altar call. I answered an altar call to get saved." This is what we found is that these two streams have to go together. Every now and then you're going to have a great congressman like this, who I've known for years, who actually blends the two, the call of God, but also civic service. And so that you put that alchemy together and, you know, you could pull that off. Well, I'm going to talk to many of you today about how you get involved in answering the call of God, whether it's a school board, whether it's a city council, whether it's a precinct. You never know how God might use you. And especially if you feel like that's not what you do, that's not your calling, that's not what you're supposed to do. God delights in inviting people to do things they don't like to do. Whether you know it or not, that's what the Bible means when it says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It means that once God gets your life, he does things that make you nervous. So we started doing the Fire and Glory, and then I was starting to work with America First Policy Institute, because I want to help conservatives. And I've got a group of business friends of mine, and I talked to them, and I said, "Listen, this AFPI, they're saying there's 7 swing states," and I know there's always swing states, but these 7 swing states have 19 counties that are going to be the future of America. There's 3,143 counties in the United States, and 19 are going to be the critical difference. 7 out of 50 states, 7. And if you want to get really granular, maybe 4, maybe Georgia and Arizona and Michigan and Wisconsin are the key states. And now we got something funny happening with Nebraska, could be a key. But here's the deal. When they said, I said, "Well, educate me further. 19 battleground counties, what does that mean?" This is where I want you to catch this. Because we could have thousands of people if I had picked a different venue. I picked this one because it's near the 19 counties that are underperforming. So here's what that means. That means there's counties where you should have, based on the data of past elections or polling or census, you've got more Christians and more conservatives in those counties than are actually showing up and voting. That means you're supposed to be +2, but you're down -2. That means that all it takes is we've got to activate the low-hanging fruit of underperforming counties where we already have people that are for lethargy, apathy, laziness, or spiritual fog, don't know that the battle's going on. Well, I said, "Yeah, but the problem is we could have 4,000 or 5,000 people and really create some momentum in other places." But then my business friends said, "But that's not strategic. You need to take this where the battle is strongest, and that means the attendance might not be there, the people might, that's the whole point. You're going where they need to wake up." And we're not talking to them directly right now. We're talking to people. And by the way, a lot of you came from out of the state. That's wonderful, because it's like a move of God. We got people from all over the country coming to these meetings. But I want you to know what we're doing. When we're finished, the real work starts. Because that's when I've got to take everyone that came here from Georgia and meet with you and say, "I know where your neighbors are. I've got the data. I know where the low-hanging fruit is. I know who the conservatives and the Christians are that just need you to knock on the door, go visit them, have a cup of coffee, be a Christian friend, invite them over to your house. I'm only going to give you names that are within like a mile or two of where you live anyway, so you can literally say we're neighbors. Are you willing to do the bare minimum of knocking on the door, not of an Antifa house, but of a Christian or a conservative that needs to get some encouragement?" See, if we do that, then I can take this weird statistic of 96% of eligible voters don't show up, and all I got to do is move a percentage of that. I don't got to get them all. You're the key. It's amazing how big things happen. Big doors move on little hinges. 19 counties. And here we are right there within shot of Gwinnett County and a couple of other counties. And where's my Georgia people here? All right, Georgia, I need you to stand up right now so the rest of us can separate you from the rest of us. All right, now all Georgia people, I want everyone else to extend your hand towards Georgia, because you are what we're hoping for. And while the congressman is getting mic'd up and ready, I'm going to commission you. Glory to God, Georgia. Come on down front, quickly, come on. Let's welcome Georgia. Glory, 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 glory. Listen, this is what's going to turn the battle at the gate. Like I said, if we wanted thousands, we promote something like in Atlanta, and then I bring in a couple of big shot celebrities. But we didn't do that. We just wanted to have the Holy Ghost draw people out. Amen. All right, now compact closer together. You don't need a whole lot of space between you, because Jerusalem is a city compacted together. And yesterday when we did this, we had such a strong anointing. Put your hands on the shoulders of the person in front of you. Connect with each other. You're all connected together now. And now I'm connecting with you. Father, I thank you for the electricity of the Holy Ghost. Courage, anointing, freedom, a chain reaction. Salvation comes to your household as you bring salvation to another household. Here, the Lord's telling me something. You're not just going to go knock on doors and make phone calls. You're going to be bringing the Word of God and the kingdom of God to people that need to hear it. There's salvations that are waiting for you. It's easy. It's low-hanging fruit. They already worried about the future. They believe in God. They don't even have a problem praying. Occasionally, they go to church. They just never met a real Christian that shared with them the real gospel. You're it. Jesus said, the harvest is ripe. The laborers are few. He is so smiling over you right now because you're the laborers. And when you're a laborer working for someone, they pick up the tab. That means when the devil tries to take you out, he can't, because you're already employed. Sickness and disease can't take you out prematurely because you're not finished your job yet. I'm serious about this. The greatest rebuking argument against death is an unfinished assignment, and you're all getting drafted into the big push for your country. And so I'm thanking you, Holy Ghost, that you're putting a mark on people. Oh, I know some of you are going to be reluctant to do this. I'm just like you. I don't want to go up to strangers, but you're going to go in teams of two and three. Someone's going to be in the car outside. You're going to have two people in the car praying when he's going to go to the door, or two of you's going to go to the door while the prayer warrior is in the car with the getaway vehicle. But you're not going to do it alone. You're going to do it as teams. Where's Hutch? Hutch, get up here on the platform. Want you all to know, I'm bringing Hutch with me here for Georgia. I've known him for years. For 20 years, I've been waiting for God to tell me when he and I are going to work together. I met him at Rodney Howard Brown. This guy was a battery. He just got so filled with the Holy Ghost. Everywhere he went, he laid hands on people. This is one of those old school revival evangelists that his eyes come on fire when he starts to see the fire of God come down. Everybody say, hi, Hutch.
Hi, Hutch.
All right, there's your army right here. This is what you've been praying for years. Because there's some of you that prayed, oh, God, get me in the Super Bowl. Get me in the big game. I've been waiting my whole life to be in the big game. Well, guess what? You're now in the Super Bowl. You're in the Super Bowl. Georgia and Arizona are the top two states. And Satan has taken Georgia twice or three times already when he should not have, because the firewall wasn't up. This is the firewall. We can't get the churches all to do it. Sorry to say, you got great churches out here, but a lot of them are real goofy. The body of Christ is going to have to make up the gap. So, Father, I thank you. They're all connected together. And while you've been holding each other, touching each other, the anointing is flowing. Body to body, soul to soul, there's a quickening and strengthening of the inner man. I woke up today, the Lord said, hey, the spirit's willing, the flesh is weak, my boy. I said, that's it, Lord. We got to build strong spirits to overcome weak flesh. Now, have you know, if you do this together with this Courage Tour Awakening anointing, it's the beginning of something different for you. You're going to be a magnet to different things happening. It's happening right now, right here in this group. And all you that are out there that are from other states, God bless you for coming. I pray it hits your state, and I pray that you're going to be just like these people. As God activates them, he's going to follow you up too and take you back to your state. You'll have your own tribe, your own vehicle, your own awakening. And listen, man, this is going to be, there's permeations that's going to come out of this. It's going to be totally different. Radical new churches are going to rise up. New prayer groups going to rise up. Jenny Donnelly, many of you signed up with her prayer group. There's different ways God's going to network the body together in prayer hubs, mama bear groups, going after the low-hanging fruit. But get ready, because this is the move of God, the revival you've been waiting for. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're a big part of it. Carly, you're a big part of it. How many enjoyed Carly yesterday, what she had to say?
Yes.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And what time does Barry have to leave, the congressman? I heard he has to leave at 11.
He has to start at 11.
Well, if he has to leave at 11, I need to get him up now. It's 10:30. If he goes for a half hour, then I got 5 minutes with Barry. I need to rotate, Pastor.
Say again?
I need to rotate my speakers around because the congressman has a hard exit at 11, you're saying.
No, that's not right.
No.
He starts at 11.
Well, I speak, dear God, bind Leviathan in confusion. Okay, so we don't have a hard exit at 11. I get it. He starts at 11. All right, thank you. All right, listen. Georgia. You know, Georgia's one of the only states that has songs about it. New York occasionally has a song. But Georgia has a lot of songs about it. Why is that? It's a great state. All right, here's the one I want to practice with you, though. How many of you would love to bring out the anointing and the best in everybody that's up on this platform? All right, let me tell you how you do it. My staff is annoying me with start Pastor Miles messages. You should be up here reading what they're telling me. I know I have to start Pastor Miles. It's like I'm a 10-year-old. Start Pastor. I know. You just handed me this. I know what I'm doing. All right, listen. Where was I going before I got that off on that? Oh, yeah, bring out the best of speakers. Listen. So here's what you do. Like, and you did this so beautifully yesterday. I was so proud of you. Because when people, atmospheres are like unique, right? When people get up here, it's like, oh, they don't know. First of all, the lights are in your eyes. You can't see people. We got empty seats here. I don't like empty seats. I wish all of you would fill up those empty seats. We don't have any reserved seating. Matter of fact, I want everybody that's in the back. How many of you would like to experience a move of God? I'm serious. How many want to experience a move of God? These empty seats up here have angels sitting in them. If you go sit right there, you'll have angelic visitations on those seats. Just pick up those reserve signs and put them under the chair. That's my seat. Take my seat. My angel's up here with me anyway. I once, listen to this, this is the truth. I want to, you guys aren't moving at all back there. That section back there is in rebellion. What is up with you back there? Somebody lead those people up here to these empty seats. One time, listen to this story. Listen to this. One time, I was complaining. Jewish people call it kvetching. I was kvetching because I just got home and was traveling, and I had to go to Moravian Falls for something with Dave Yarns, my buddy who's here, and I had to do this event up there. I didn't know they were filming a movie, and I was going to be interviewed for the movie, and I'm complaining. Why do I have to do this? And so I was saying, why do I always schedule myself like this? And I didn't go with joy. I went with obligation. It's like, all right, I'll go. So I packed my bags, and I had a friend of mine from the UK who was visiting, a great intercessor, and he's an engineer that works with robotics and actually is in the weapons field. Weird combination. He's a pacifist that designs weapons to kill people. Interesting guy. But anyway, he's a beautiful man. And I said, I'm so sorry, Nick. I'm leaving you. You're visiting me. I forgot I have a commitment in Moravian Falls. I'm going to go flying up to Charlotte. I'm going to drive an hour into the mountains. Then I'm going to meet with like 50 or 60 people. I'll be back in 2 days. Don't worry about it, Lance. It's quite all right. Be blessed. I'll be here. So he stays back at my house. I arrive up there, and I'm kind of like agitated. Then I realize, oh, they're filming a movie. Oh, they're interviewing me for the movie. I forgot this. I didn't know they were going to do that. Now I'm feeling kind of like a little guilty for complaining. But I'm still like not in the flow of things, a little agitated. And then Nick calls me up, and he goes, Lance, he goes, things are going to go much better for you now. I go, why is that? I was walking through your house, and I was praying with your cat, my cat named Lucius. And Lucius and I were going from room to room, and I came to your office. I've never had this happen. I suddenly was in the spirit, and I saw a group of angels. And they're standing around talking to each other in your office. I said, yeah, I'm trying to process all this. Because he's a lucid guy, but he's also kind of a mystic. He said, and I said to them, I said, what are you doing here? Lance is in Moravian Falls. You should be there. And they looked at me, and they looked at each other, and then they shut out the window. I think your meetings will go much better now. So I'm sitting there going, is that possible, Lord? And then the Lord says something to me. The Lord said, you have angels assigned to you for the duration of your ministry life on earth. They're assigned to you. Whether you put them to work or not depends on your attitude and your confession. You were binding your own ministering angels and producing for yourself frustration, strife, and discord. You were authorizing your own upset. And the Lord said, that's not the only time you've done it. I just wanted you to see what happens. You've got angels, they're happy to hang out at your house or be with you. It all depends on your attitude. I sent them to go work with you, but they're not picking up on the frequency because you're binding them with your complaining. They're not hearing you, they're talking to each other. So in the name of Jesus, I want you all to loose your angels. In everything, give thanks. In everything, why? Because it sets up the angels to go do their job. You know, they're not at my house, they're flowing with you. So I thank you today that we're gonna have angels flowing all day long. Angels coming, angels going. And when the speakers get on the platform, what I want you to do is I want you to greet them with the enthusiasm of like if Donald Trump just walked in and surprised us. Just treat them like the celebrity they are because they're all coming here out of their own expense. They're coming here out of the goodness of their heart just because they believe in the Courage Tour and the vision of what we're doing. So they're the best. Pastor Miles Rutherford is a revivalist whose aim is to ignite the fire of God in the hearts of people across the globe. He serves alongside with his wife, Delana Rutherford, the founder of Worship with Wonders Church in Marietta, Georgia, and is an author and a songwriter, recording artist. So my connection with him is we pray for who to connect with, and we believe that the people that God connects us with are designed for this time and this season. And so this is one of those individuals that God has ordained for the nature of the move of God. And there needs to be a pastors who are suitable to the move of God, who aren't like you heard with Jensen yesterday, who will pay the price to lose what must be lost in order to gain what God gives them. I want you to welcome this great pastor, Miles Rutherford. God bless you.
Somebody do the same thing for Jesus Christ in here. Amen. Thank you, Lance Wallnow. Thank you for having me. Honor you, sir, and Mario Murillo in this great courageous tour. How many already feel courage building up on the inside of you? I want to honor my wife, Pastor Delana. She pastors alongside me. Baby, stand up. Let them see how fine you are. Beautiful inside and out. My family all come to support me today. I am an Atlanta guy. My wife and I have been pastoring here for 17 years in Marietta, so we have something to say about the region in this area, and we believe God is going to take this region over, and Atlanta shall be saved. We got some Worship with Wonders people in the room, but more importantly, we've got the most important people in the room are the remnant of God. If you know you are in the remnant, you are the Christians and the believers that are making a difference in this time and this moment. I want you to stand to your feet and just say, that's me, Lord, and give God one of the greatest shout of praises you've ever given him. It is 10:38, and I have apparently 30 minutes to stand in front of you. And so I'm a preacher, thank you. And I'm not a politician, I'm a preacher. And I feel very called in this moment, in this time, to raise up a believing people, a remnant of people. And how many know a remnant doesn't mean a church? The remnant is in the inside of the church. A church, you can go to church and not be the remnant. If you want to know who the remnant are, they're just simply offended by what God is offended with. And they're not better than, they're just bolder than. They're not very big. We have a small remnant in America, and I want to talk about that a little bit, but I want to talk to you because I believe I'm talking to the remnant in this room today, and I want to just light a fire. So I know this is a meeting. This isn't a church building, but I want to have church with you today. And I really feel the Lord has a word for you. I want you to get your Bibles out. If you got your Bibles, say amen. 1 Kings 18. We know this to be Elijah in 17. He proclaims a drought for 3.5 years. The drought happens. And I want you to notice that God never told Elijah to call the drought. He was just fed up, and he began to present himself and say, there will be no rain except at my word. God never asked him to do that, but God backs up those who are righteous and recognize a moment in history where we need to make a definitive stand. But 1 Kings 18 says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And the third year, the Bible in Luke says 3.5 years, so 3.5 years, he says these words, Elijah, go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. Everybody say, go present yourself to Ahab. Today, I really want to talk to you about presenting yourself. I believe we're in a situation right now in this country, which I'm going to focus on, is the need for the church to present themselves and to prepare. Presenting yourself is simply saying, I'm coming out of silence. We do not need a silent majority right now in America. We need a motivated group of people in the church that are willing to come out from the woodwork, come out from their houses like you are today, making a definitive statement, we will be seen and we will be heard. Come on, somebody. I'm in church now, and I'm a Pentecostal preacher. So you're allowed to shout me down, and you're allowed to wave and jump up and down. And if you really want to do it, you can run around the building if you get excited. But I want to explain to you why we are very much in a parallel to what you read in 17, 18, and 19 of 1 Kings. And Elijah, he was somebody that comes out of a woodline. Nobody understood where he come from, but he was just people. He is a person that we would look at as today as somebody who would come out, and where did they come from? He represents that. And there are a lot of people that you may not know right now, but you're going to start learning about them because they're sick and tired of where the things are going on in this nation, and they want to be seen and heard for the sake of God, not just for the church. It's time for us to speak up for God and not just the church. Come on, somebody. We need some voices that will speak for God and on God's behalf. I am a voice not for the right or left, but a voice for right and wrong. We need voices that will be a voice for right and for wrong. And how many know there's no person that's going to get it 100% right who is going to be in the next 4 years, whether it's Trump or Biden, whoever. But I want to know this, that I'm standing before the Lord and I am representing him. And we don't let the tail wag the dog this year, but we put our foot down and we say what we want. We are the church and we are making some definitive statements. This is what we believe and we are on the Lord's side. I want to know if there's anybody in this room that is on the Lord's side and wants God's righteousness to be exalted in this nation. If that's you, it's a good spot to get up on your feet and make a definitive sound in the air and blow a shofar for this city to be saved, for this nation. Amen. You got that last one out, didn't you? Ahab today does not represent one man. He represents a system. It is a system that is indifferent to sin. It's a system that tolerates sexual immorality. It's a system that compromises on abortions. It's a system that worships self rather than worships God. God's will is a righteous nation and a righteous people. How many would agree with that? This moment in time, we must mobilize the people of God to be visible. That's why the message title today is Present Yourself. Don't hide, present yourself. Who do we present ourselves to? We're not here presenting ourselves to simply a president or Congress or Senate. Church, we are representing and presenting ourselves to principalities that are in the heavenlies, that are trying to do its best in order to represent lawlessness and godlessness in this nation. That's why God needs Elijahs. Tap your neighbor and say, I'm an Elijah today. God needs people that will be a voice, that will be a resounding voice in a season where people are listening to echoes. God needs a voice. We don't need vices. We need voices today. We need people that will speak resolute words, not assumptions. Listen, the body of Christ is not an apprehensive body. There's a church and then there is a body. The church is an organism or is an organization, but the body is an organism. How many know we are the body of Christ? How many would consider yourselves to be the body of Christ here today? The body of Christ is full of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, when Jesus raised from the dead, he said, I'm going to send a helper to you, and he will be the Spirit of truth, and he will reside in you. That's the reason why some of you are here today, because you recognize that in this nation, many of the people that are taking our culture and society are taking them into subjective truth rather than objective truth. What happens is the Spirit of God on the inside of us recognizes that this is a false truth and not the real truth. And something on the inside of a remnant gets up and begins to stand up. Isaiah says it like this, arise, shine, for your light has come. That word light has come is followed, or that sentence, light has come, is followed by, behold, darkness covers the deep, and deep darkness over the faces of the people. There was a guy by the name of Bezmenov. How many have ever heard of Bezmenov? Anybody know Bezmenov? He was a defected KGB agent. And he said, they have a plan for America back in the 80s. And this is almost a prophetic thing. I would like to call it a prediction. But he said, they have a plan to demoralize America. Matter of fact, it's four stages: demoralization, destabilization, crisis, and then a new norm. That's how you completely change a nation. That's how you can go from freedom to socialism. That's how you can take a nation and take them in a different direction. Number one, you have to demoralize them. What does that mean? He said it would take 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation, because you have to change Congress by changing kindergarten. You have to go to kindergarten and change how they think. You have to teach them false truths. You have to teach them that God, or take God out of schools and teach them that whatever their truth is, that's what they have. In other words, after 15 to 20 years, you'll find out that 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4 anymore, and a woman is not really a woman. So you demoralize a society. How many can see that that's going on today? That takes 15 to 20 years. This is a prediction that he had. And then after that, it would be a destabilization that takes 3 to 5 years. You know, this whole thing about transgenderism that's so dominant right now, and the acceptance of slaughtering, strapping girls' chests so they look like men, and cutting off boys' genitals so they can feel like a woman. All that stuff has happened over the last 3 to 5 years, has been accepted. Why? Because after you get people to be demoralized, what it does is it affects them to be able to absorb truth. So even though truth is presented, they cannot absorb it because they have been dealt with so much of demoralization. Are y'all tracking with me? Destabilization is when you start seeing those same people. What they do is they begin to stand for their truth. They won't stand for their country. They won't stand for the Bible. They won't stand for their ancestry. They won't stand for their patriarchs. They will only stand for their truth. How many can see right now we're dealing with people that will only stand for their truth? They won't even fight for their country. They will only fight for their truth. It destabilizes a nation, of which we are in right now. The next is a crisis. That's where something in economy happens, or something happens with the state of Washington, D.C. Something changes, a war breaks out, and a crisis happens, and that can happen within weeks, and then you have a new norm. The new norm is created by the people that are in authority with politics. So when you want to see a new norm happen, you create a crisis when the timing is right. And how many know right now the timing is right for society and ungodly people to create a crisis so that they can create a new norm? And I don't know about you, but I don't want, and when I say I don't want a new church, I don't want a new norm, I want to go back to the way God intended for this nation to be ran. We've got to stop scrubbing things like one nation under God, indivisible. We want God back in our schools. We want, now I signed a waiver, so they're not held reliable for what I'm saying. We want God back in our schools. I want God back in politics. I want people that know how to stand for God. I told you I'm a preacher, not a politician. I'm not here to pander to any party. If you're standing on the Lord's side, I'm on your side. I feel like a Moses coming off the mountain right now saying, who is on the Lord's side? I'm not in anybody's back pocket, and I suggest the church realizes that you are not in anybody's back pocket. Don't let somebody stroke you and make you feel good. Make sure you get a little bit. Listen, the church of God is not called to compromise. Abortion is killing children. I said abortion is killing children. I said abortion is killing children. I don't care if it's at conception or 9 months. All the way through, you have to understand, if you give a little, the enemy's going to take a lot. It's time for the church to put its shoulders back, put your feet down on the ground, and declare we want representation in this nation, and we want it now. Stop letting the tail wag the dog. You are the people. We are the people. And I want representation. By the way, the Bible says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice as a trumpet. That word trumpet is shofar. And it's not just the thing that you're hearing in the background, but the Bible says to lift up your voice as a trumpet. In other words, stop being silent. No more silent treatment by the church, ladies and gentlemen. It's time we say something. It's time we open our mouths. I want to preach in here, but I need a church that'll go with me in this room. I'm a little irritated. I'm mad, and I'm preaching, and I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to your children's children. I'm preaching because if we don't leave something for our children's children, we will have a godless nation in the next 26 years, and it's statistically backed up. I got 15 minutes.
They keep making it go a little faster. Y'all nervous, maybe? I don't know. Lance, I'm okay? I was preaching in 2021. First of all, how many know COVID wasn't just a plague, it was a purge? I was preaching in 2021. My wife and I were going across the West Coast. We were preaching from San Diego all the way to Los Angeles, up the coast. And God said, I want you to look for the number 76. I said, what does that mean? He said, just look for the number 76. And how many know when you're a preacher, you just go with the Lord? After a while, you stop second guessing him. And I said, okay, preach number 76, not 75, 76. I said, God, what does this mean? He said, just tell them when they see the number 76 that things are going to change. I said, okay. In 2020, Barna came out. 33% of the church has left. How many know COVID took a lot of people out of the church? Tap your neighbor and say, I'm still here. Y'all know what a shaking does? A shaking doesn't determine who left. It determines who is left. If you look at that scripture, it says, I will shake once more to show you who is remaining. I'm not going nowhere. Come on, church. We need a church that will plant itself right. And you know what? Oh, I want to preach. I don't know. I just feel a Holy Ghost on me right now. Whew. When you read about this Jesus and they try to define who he was, and finally they said, you're Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed are you, Simon, your name shall become Peter. And he said, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Doesn't mean they won't try, ladies and gentlemen. It says they will not prevail. Here's the point of that. Jesus never said, I'm going to put my church over here in the corner. He says, I'm going to put them right in the middle of the gates of hell. That's what the church needs to do. Stop hiding in our little assemblies, in our little houses, in our little places. We need to get out and mobilize, and we need to speak to the darkness. We need to be a light in the darkness. We need to shine in the darkness. We need to do it now. I said, we need to do it now. God is looking for a church that will stand right now. Don't complain 6 months from now when you didn't stand right now. God needs a church to stand in the middle of the gates of hell. God kept saying, preach. 76%. 33, Barna came out, and then it was 55. And how many remember when one of the news outlets came out and said, church now is in the such a decline that it is under people that actually believe in God, go to church, it's under the majority. How many remember hearing that? It was like at 47%. And I was preaching in San Diego, my wife and I. We came back home, and in San Diego news it said 76%. Now, when I seen that, God said, this is it. It says 76% of the church has now agreed for religious exemptions and things to be accepted in the LGBTQ community. 76%. And I know not all polls are accurate, but the number stuck in my head because the Lord didn't say 75 or 77. He says, when you see the number 76, I'm going to do something on this earth. How many know God's going to do something on this earth? I said God's going to do something on this earth. And he's going to do something in America. But God doesn't come to the church first. He comes through the church first. We're all waiting on the second coming. But how many know God's going to come through the church before he comes to and for the church? God is looking for you to stand up just like you're doing today. Taking time out of your busy schedules. Coming out here. Finding a chair. Supporting the Courageous Tour so that you can build up strength. Because outside of this world, you're going to have people that think different, act lit different, look different than you, don't have the same mindset according to this society. But can I tell you, you have to stand firm and be resolute in what you believe, not just because your church preaches it, not because Lance preaches it, Mario or Miles preaches it, but because the Word of God says this is the way we ought to walk in it. He said if my people, he didn't say the world, he said if my people will humble themselves, seek my face and pray and turn from their wicked ways. Do you know you can be God's people and have wicked ways at the same time? He said, if my people will turn from their wicked ways, he said, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. I believe America will not be healed because we get a new president. America will be healed when the church gets fed up getting the back seat of the... And we say, we've had it. We want our say. Our God is righteous. And we're looking for a righteous nation. The Bible says that the righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness is right standing with God. It was Noah, and God called Noah in 1 Peter 2:5. He says, I called him a preacher of righteousness. We don't need TED Talks. We don't need motivational speaking in the church. We need preachers of righteousness, preaching right standing, that hell is hot, sin is wrong, and God is the way, and Jesus is the only door to him. I wish I had somebody that would believe in what I'm saying, get up on your feet and declare, Jesus is my Lord. Church, present yourself. There's never a greater time to present yourself than right now. Lift up your voice and give God a shout of praise. Seems like the LGBTQ don't mind presenting themselves. Seems like Planned Parenthood don't mind presenting themselves. Seems like the indoctrination of secular and liberal education don't mind presenting themselves. Seems like the liberal news don't mind presenting themselves. I refuse to hide in the cave. I refuse to stay on the mountain. I'm coming down off the mountain. I suggest you come out of your cave, and preachers, you need to preach like you've never preached before. I'm not talking about preachers that hold a mic on a stage. If you need a mic and a stage to be a preacher, you're a performer. I'm talking about the preaching of the gospel that follows the Great Commission. You don't preach because you have an ordination. You preach because you have salvation. Preach. This nation will be turned because of preachers. 76%. 76%. I said, God, what are you saying? This is what he said. He said, go to my word. How many people seen me when I resurrected? 500. The Bible says around 500. He said, how many people were there in the upper room? I said, 120. He said, do the math. I did the math. It's exactly 76%. You're going to have to hold this. 76%. I said, Lord, what are you doing? He said, just like I did in the book of Acts, I'm doing now. I said, what do you mean? He said, I'm cleaning house. Now, hold on. How many could say there are people that are not in church anymore since 2020 that used to go to church and you don't see them anymore? Wave your hand. Again, I hate the word COVID. It's ugly, but it is a reminder of what's coming next. They sold us fear in the name of good. You want to know how the Antichrist is set up? Fear in the name of good. God's way is not fear. In 1948, 76%. God began to show me this number after this. And it's in the book that I have. And you can go online, Amazon. It's called Raise Your Voice. 76% of people in America in 1948 served the Lord and went to church. In 2021, 76% have left the faith. Now, here's the deception. Y'all want to know the deception? They didn't leave the church. God said the great apostasy is people falling away from the faith. The deception is they still go to church, but they are okay with sin. They're okay with deception. They're okay with pride flags. They're okay with drag queens. They're okay with all this stuff. And if they don't have them, they don't say much. I'm done with silent preachers. I don't hang out with many preachers anymore. When I say preachers, I'm talking about pastors, and I love pastors. I'm a pastor. My wife's a pastor. But I'm tired of the toleration. We don't need tolerance right now. If you read in Revelations 3, he speaks to the church of Thyatira. He says, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel. That word toleration simply means you know it's wrong, but don't do anything about it. It doesn't mean you agree with it, but you say nothing. How many could say you wish a whole lot more mainline pastors and preachers and ministries would lift up their voice and call out sin what it is? I got 5 minutes. I'm doing good. I got to my introduction. 76%. 76%. In 2021, we've seen 76%. He said, I'm cleaning house. And ladies, gentlemen, so I'm not sexist. How many of you ever had to clean your house? Mm-hmm. Men, how many of you ever had to clean the house? Here's the thing about men. We don't clean the house unless we have to. I said, what do you mean, God, about cleaning house? He said, why do people clean the house? They clean the house. How many have ever had a call from your mother-in-law? I'm going to drop by. And the dishes have been in the sink for 3 days. And there's stuff on the floor. You immediately say, would love to have you. You hang up the phone and you go to cleaning the house. Why do we clean the house? Because company is coming. Can I tell you where the church is right now? If you're not careful, you'll compromise. We will compromise. If we're not careful, we will get behind people that have us secured in their back pocket. And we won't lift our voice and say, this is what we want. It's getting quiet in here. We underestimate ourselves and we settle. We settle. We'll settle for this person and this party. Well, I know that there's an obvious, definite, better party when it comes to morality. I'm not done. I want the church to demand what God wants in the White House, not just what we think is good. Are y'all reading between the lines here? I am not against, but I am against. I am against abortion, period. Here's why people tend to go lax. Well, at least we have Roe v. Wade overturned, and we don't want to, you know, try to ruffle the feathers. Let's just get the next party in there. If you don't make a stand now, if you don't say something now, while there is a better party than the one we have now, and I am hoping that I'm not crossing the lines. Again, I'm a preacher. Jesus Christ did not get up on the cross and half die for us. He did not half settle. He said, if this cup passes me, thy will be done. Why would we half settle wanting to see America turn completely to God? The church is not in anybody's back pocket right now. And you better not make people feel, because they are running for certain things, that they have your 100%. Because if they're in your back pocket, they're going to stop speaking for what things that you're standing for, and they're going to go after votes. I'm not after a vote. I'm after a voice. I want the church recognized. And isn't it funny that Ahab doesn't represent a person? It represents a system dealing with a Jezebel. And how many know Jezebel's coming down? I got 1 minute and 38 seconds. Let me listen to me. 3.5 years into the drought. We are 3.5 right now into this cycle. This is the moment, church, that you present yourself. This is the moment that you get on all your social medias, that you tell everybody, this is what I stand for. I stand for God. I stand and believe what God's word is, and I want representation for my God. Call me what it is. I'm not looking for the will of the people. I'm looking for the will of God over America, and I will not relent and continue to be a voice until we see it. I wish I had some people in here that knew what I feel right now and would put your foot down and say, we will be courageous, we will be bold, and we will not settle for anything less. Dust settles. Lawyers settle. The kingdom of God, we do not settle. We want God back in America again. Thank you.
All right. All right, hold on, Pastor. All right, so tell people, how do they get in touch? This is what I do when I'm on my podcast. How do people get in touch with you? How do they stay connected with you?
The best way, if you're on Instagram, myles.rutherford, Worship with Wonders Church, my wife, Delana Rutherford. Grateful that they're here. Marietta, Georgia. We're over on the other side. We fought the traffic to get here, but we're glad to be here.
Now you got people that go to church. I hear people applauding out there. Well, that's great. You bring the church with you. That's outstanding. Thank you so much, Pastor, for being with us. You'll be with us some more. Well, you enjoy that? What I love about this move is when I talk Seven Mountains and the left gets nervous about it, they should, because you see, if the church ever tears down that separation that it's stuck itself in, its isolation, then we become the salt and the light that brings out the flavor and the vitality of Christians that are in all these other spheres. I mean, how else are you going to influence culture unless the church is actually coming out from behind the pulpit into the secular arena and lifting up its voice? In the name of Jesus, we have, the next speaker, when we have congressmen and congresswomen that are serving as in the House of Representatives, it's a realization that you realize that almost all of the progress that's being made in America is being done either by Christians that are overt or Christians that are ninja. In other words, even on the Supreme Court, when I see the big cases, I go find out who the attorneys are, and then I meet with them, and I find out that they're believers. Literally, Christians are saving America right now. And like the left doesn't quite have a map for it because they keep on trying to put a label on it as nationalist or this or that or a party. But it's in the legal profession, it's the Christians that are actually having that influence. It's even the prayer warriors that are praying for Tucker Carlson and Elon Musk. When you get into their lives, you find out the mother-in-law, the wife, sister, you find that there's Christians right there that are standing in the gap for these people. This is a battle right now between spiritual forces that are colliding, but God has those that he needs on the front lines. And sometimes the Lord can save with many or with few. You'd be surprised how often it's few. And what you got now is one of the few. Congressman Loudermilk, I've known him for years. Actually one of the few that's actually been in my neighborhood. He was meeting with Glenn Beck, and I said, stop over at the house. He stopped over at my house, and I just had a party. He just came and joined a birthday party. Some kind of party I was at. I thought, this is great. This is a man of God who's answering the call to deal in the public square of government. And he's heading up probably one of the most important committees in Washington. It's getting to the truth about January 6th. We all know what the narrative is on January 6th, and we've all had our questions about that. I was there. And I remember getting shut down on Facebook because I was live. I said, this looks to me more like a setup than anything. And all of a sudden, boom, my whole channel got shut down. I said, oh, I must be flying over some target right now. How do they know to shut that down? But what I'm going to tell you is this. If we don't have courageous leaders in Washington, if we don't have courageous lawyers, if we don't have courageous journalists like Laura Logan and others that are coming into the kingdom, and Tucker Carlson also, then then we can't win. We can only win. The Lord can save with many or with few, but he must have someone. That's the secret. I want you to welcome Congressman Barry Loudermilk.
Thank you. Thank you, Lance. Thank you so much. And Lance, thank you for what you do. This is incredible. When Lance and I first met was maybe